Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news as United prepare a huge bid for Tchouaméni and talks continue to sign Santos. Look, I wasn't live with you this morning. Obviously, I was up very late with the England game. No apologies there. It was absolutely incredible. But it's great to be back. It's been a long day. I didn't get up till 1 o'clock. And obviously then it was the Beth show. So I've just left it till 7 because we've got Bruno against Spain coming up in less than an hour as well. But there's a lot that should be going on with Manchester United as well. If you figure it out, we are probably about 6 weeks away from the start of the season. And people are saying there's 9 weeks left of the window. There's 6 weeks until we actually start the season. And I am a big fan of saying that, yeah, OK, the window does run for 2 or 3 weeks after the season starts. But there is something called pre-season. There is called something about having a plan. And it does tend to bite you in the arse when you don't. I think that, look, where I would start off first of all, and look, we may as well start big or go home. I think the Santos deal is absolutely embarrassing. I think it's embarrassing for a football club like Man United to be considering Somerville and Santos. SAS, they are not. They are average players. They are Everton signings. They are maybe Newcastle signings. These are not the signings of a club that finishes third that wants to compete for the Premier League or the Champions League. These are papering the cracks. These are chances. These are bullshit signings from a bullshit board who increasingly look like their main aim is to lie to you so you buy the kit, you buy the season tickets, so they can finish in the top five and build a stadium for 5 years and not actually spend any money. This is like spending money on average. This is not ambitious. This is not about winning titles. This is about average. This is about fifth place. I was stunned last night when I was and I want to talk about the Tchouaméni bid as well, but I don't want to double bang you with, you know, potential updates. I was doing the watch along for England last night and a Chelsea fan, Max, he's a big fan of the That's Football. I don't think he comes on United Stand. Chelsea fan on That's Football, been on there for years. And he said, if we sold you, his line was, do you think we can get Tchouaméni or Wharton? And I thought it was a United fan. And I was like, oh, I don't really know. I mean, I think they're difficult deals. And he went, no, I'm a Chelsea fan. I mean, if you buy Santos, do you think we can get Wharton or Tchouaméni? And it really resonated with me. It really resonated with me that if we give, and look, Chelsea put Garnacho for sale. Ben Jacobs put it out earlier. Chelsea have put Garnacho up for sale, right? What a stupid, stupid idea it would be to give them the £40 million back so they can go and buy Tchouaméni or Wharton. And that's the scary thing that people don't figure out. By giving Chelsea £40 million or £50 million for Santos, we're literally allowing them to buy a midfielder we should buy. Like, we're taking what they don't want to buy something we should be going for. We're strengthening a rival that isn't in Europe and finished below us. We're actually giving people a hand up now. I mean, it's incredibly, incredibly embarrassing and it's incredibly naive. But also, what was really interesting about the stream last night is because on That's Football, you get a lot of people who are Arsenal fans, Liverpool fans, Chelsea fans, United fans. We were talking about Santos and the general consensus was, about a year ago, they felt like he might be a really good player. But the concerns about him are he seems a little bit lightweight for the Premier League. He's quite inconsistent and he's not as good as Labia. He's injured all the time. And I'm like, Man United need to be signing Andersons, Tonalis, you know, Tchouaménis, you know, Bruno Guimarães, maybe, you know, Alex Scott, starters who are performing that are good players. We don't need to be buying a fucking Chelsea bench player with potential for 50 million quid. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. And, you know, you can fall for the spin of, oh, yeah, this is a great deal for United, this, that and the other. It's a shit deal. And it's not the lad's fault. If we sign him, I hope it works out. I really, really do. But that you know, last night when Kwanza got sent off in the heat of the moment, and I will talk about it on That's Football, I said, what a fucking idiot. I tweeted it. I said, what a fucking idiot. And I had people saying to me, oh, great way to cause a pile-on. Oh, great one to start all the hate. And I'm like, hold on a minute, right? Football is about opinion. If people had started abusing Kwanza, or they do abuse Kwanza, I'd be right at the front of the queue saying, what are you doing? But that tackle was absolutely stupid and could have cost England the World Cup, right? Signing Santos, for me, is absolutely stupid. It shows no ambition and he's not good enough. It's nothing personal against him. I mean, it's not the Andre Santos charity, is it? It's not that, like, we can't be... Yeah. These players are going to define our mood. This board are going to define our mood. Christmas, New Year, birthdays, summer holidays, they define our mood because we love football. I'm sorry, I'm not sorry about having an opinion on something. It's not an unfair opinion. I do not think he is a good enough signing for Man United when you've already bought Ederson. I do not think that this is a good summer transfer window for Man United to be in the first week of July, you know, thinking about bids for Somerville and Santos. I mean, it makes me feel like we're Everton. Somerville and Santos. I remember 4 months ago, it was going to be Diomande, Tonali, Anderson. And now it's Somerville and Santos. And I'm sorry, that's not good enough. And if United get it right, I don't know how they do get it right. Because if somebody says to me, well, the data. But the data said Fernandes, the data said Tonali, the data said Anderson, the data said Semenyu, the data said Diomande. Even the data is telling us that Santos and Somerville are options D, E and F. So what we're basically saying is, let's sign Santos. And let's all admit it's a plan E signing and let's all get on our knees and pray and hope it works. And that's my issue with it. United can't polish this turd. And the turd is, not the player, the turd is, here we are again, gambling on a lower option because we've messed everything else up. And that's my argument with anybody saying, but he's a good player. He's a good player. Man United even don't think he's a good player. Man United didn't even have him in their top five candidates. This is the problem. We're buying option 6, 7, 8 now. That's embarrassing. And it's got nothing to do with the player. And maybe he does come to Man United and maybe he does end up being a good player. But my issue is it's embarrassing to be going down the list that far when we still haven't bought our marquee midfielder. And that's the mic drop for me. We haven't bought our fucking marquee midfielder yet. And we're going after Santos from Chelsea. And trust me, Chelsea are literally going, just keep quiet. Keep quiet. Keep putting tweets out that he's a good player. Just be quiet. Be quiet. It's like, you know what it is? It's like, you know, those parties where it's a surprise party and they pull up on the drive and they open the door and, you know, it's darkness and someone trumps and everyone starts laughing. Just shut up and be quiet. Do not ruin it. Do not ruin this, right? Chelsea are literally like, happy that we're going to do this deal. They're over the fucking moon. They are just going, yeah, you know what? He's a good player. It's a tough one for this. You know, if you give us 50 million, we might... You're twisting my arm. You're twisting my arm, you know? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we haven't bought a marquee signing and we're looking to buy Santos from Chelsea. It's embarrassing that we're looking to strengthen another rival. If strengthening Tottenham wasn't enough... allowing them to get Fernandes and Tonali because we won't spend. This is even worse. I would never go as far as to say it's sabotage. I mean, why would it be sabotage? Yeah, Man City's Wilcox, Berarda, Sir Jim had a season ticket at Chelsea. I mean, that's a ridiculous conspiracy. It's definitely not sabotage. It's just pure incompetence. That's what it is. It's pure incompetence. To walk into a window third in the league with Champions League football and be missing out on players to bloody Tottenham and then buying players from Chelsea so they can buy better players. It's embarrassing. It is. I'm sorry. And that, you know, I had to get that off my chest because I'm not going to be okay about this. I'm not going to be okay about this. I think the window has been an absolute embarrassment. The midfield was meant to be something earth-shattering and it's terrible. At this moment in time, it is absolutely terrible. Get your comments in. We'll delve into those. Please do smash a like on the video as always. Did we hit 270,000, by the way, subscribers? No, we didn't. We are 35 subscribers away from 270,000. So please click and subscribe. Get involved with the United Stand. We're live every morning at 10 o'clock, unless England have been playing until 5. And that's the first 10 o'clock show I've missed in bloody months, to be honest. 2 o'clock afternoon, 8 o'clock show as well. But obviously, because of the World Cup, we're an hour earlier tonight. Right, let's talk about Tchouaméni because, like it or not, we've had very good information around this for months. Started in March when Man United sort of made an approach to his representatives about the likelihood of his wanting to come to Man United. Tchouaméni has always been open to coming to Man United if Real Madrid want to let him go. What we've seen in the last, well, last week, I gave the update that this is very unlikely to happen. Real Madrid are now moving towards not wanting to let him go. And it would take something huge money-wise for Real Madrid to consider changing their mind. What we've had today is quite a few updates coming in saying that Man United are on the prowl for Tchouaméni. Some Spanish outlets, just to give you a summary of them, some of the stuff that's been coming out today. We've got Man United are willing to put a lot of money on the table to sign Tchouaméni. First contacts are expected in the coming days. That was from J. Felix Diaz. We've also had at Gianluigi Longari saying that Man United intend to move the negotiations into the operational phase by opening direct talks with Real Madrid for Tchouaméni. AS, an outlet in Spain, has said that Real Madrid will not sell Tchouaméni for less than 100 million euros. So a lot of talk around Tchouaméni again today.
Ahora en McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken Meal Deal o un $6 McDouble Meal Deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
I think it's bullshit. I actually do think it's bullshit. I think there's none of those updates that make me think, oh, this is going to happen. You know, it's not Fabrizio Romano, it's not David Ornstein, it's Spanish outlets. And I think ultimately, the one thing that seems to be very clear is that if United wanted to do this deal, you would have to be the aggressor. You would have to be like knocking on the door and saying, here's a load of money. I think the big problem you've got is that, and it's only an opinion, my opinion is there's more chance of him signing a new contract at Real Madrid than signing for Man United at the moment. As of today, I think there is more chance that he'll sign a new contract at Real Madrid than stay at Manchester United. Because if you think about it, he's got 2 years left on his contract. He's playing really well. He fits Mourinho's style of football like a bloody glove. And if Mourinho wants to keep him, I think Real Madrid will say, well, we don't want you to be in a situation next year where you've only got a year left on your contract. So, you know, let's get a new contract on. One thing I would say about this is that I think Mourinho wants to use Tchouaméni. I think when you look at the midfield of Real Madrid, even if they bought Enzo Fernandez, you know, you've got Valverde, Bellingham, Enzo Fernandez, Camavinga, Tchouaméni, you're trying to beat Barcelona in the Liga, you're trying to win the Champions League. I just think there's one player there that Mourinho is going to absolutely love, and it's Tchouaméni holding the midfield. So I don't think that, I don't think there's anything going on here. However, what I will say, and I've said this before about Alex Scott, is that if Manchester United change their transfer approach because they're desperate, there may be a glimmer of hope. And what I would say is that I think the feeling is that Tchouaméni wants to stay at Real Madrid and won't push for a move. But if Real Madrid say you're for sale, then Man United becomes interesting. But he isn't actually for sale. They're not actively looking to sell him. So we would have to go knock on the door and say, there's 100 million euro. And also, Tchouaméni, I don't know what you're on at Real Madrid, and I don't know whether there's any talks of a new contract, but we will better that. We haven't done that. And I do agree with Neville Taylor that it's Tchouaméni or bust. We literally said that after the Fernandez deal fell apart. And realistically, Man United's next move should be knocking on the door of Real Madrid and saying there's 100 million euros and there's 250 grand a week. Will you sign for us? But that would be an extraordinary change of tact and direction from a football club that has spent the last 6 months walking away from deals because they don't like the price and they don't like the wages. So Semenyo, Diamande, Tonali, Fernandez, Anderson, we've walked away from all those players. And the data, remember, the data has always been that Fernandez and Anderson were the two priorities. So Why would we suddenly knock on the door of Real Madrid for our third choice and go, there's the ridiculous money we don't want to spend. There's the ridiculous wages we don't want to spend. So I think that, I think he'll stay in Madrid. I think he'll stay in Madrid. And in fairness to Man United, they're not driving this story anyway. This is Spanish. This is coming from Spain. Why would that be happening there? Well, I look at the five strands of a transfer. Total bollocks, totally true. Club trying to use United to generate interest. Agent trying to use Man United to generate interest. Or agent using Man United to get a new contract. And I think this Spanish stuff is probably about contract negotiations, in my opinion. I think it's about contract negotiations because there is nothing coming out of the English press about Man United and Tchouaméni. In fact, to be fair, quite the opposite. If you think about Romano's updates, they've always been Tchouaméni's the dream, but at that price and those wages, it's too much for Manchester United. So I think that, yeah, we could get him, but we would have to change what we've been doing for the last 6 months. We would have to rip that up and go, money's not a problem. Let's go and get the player, which I think we actually should do. But do you think we're going to do that? Do you think we're going to go, hey, you know what? Despite what we've done with Anderson and Fernandez and Tonali, let's forget about all that and let's pay the money. And I just don't think we'll do it. I don't think we'll do it, which then leaves us in a situation where, well, who is it going to be? And that's what I mean. It's embarrassing about Santos. I mean, it's fucking embarrassing. It angers me. It's so embarrassing that our midfield recruitment is in such a bloody mess at the moment that, you know, the only thing we can get excited about is potential talks for a player Chelsea don't want. I mean, it's embarrassing. Alex Scott, I would say, does remain a possibility. But in a way, Alex Scott's a little bit like Tchouaméni in the sense that you're going to have to pay what you would have paid for Fernandez anyway to get him. So I think the problem with Scott and Tchouaméni at the moment is they're expensive. I mean, look, we could end up with a window of Baleba, Santos and Edison. And, you know, I'm not even joking. We could end up with that. I don't know where we're going to go next. I really don't. Kia, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, how does relegation Spurs splurge like they do, but third place United is still tight with the books? United is the most supported globally. Because we've got shit owners, Kia. I mean, we actually could have bought Tonali. We actually could have bought Fernandez. We've got the money to do it. FFP allows us to do it. We just chose not to do it because that's the ownership that we have. Unpopular opinion, but Alex Scott doesn't excite me, Mark, says the Martian. No British passport, and he's the same tier as Baleba for me. I have lost all hope. Well, he has got a British passport, and he is better than Baleba, and I actually prefer Scott to Fernandez, but I think it's a very, very difficult deal to do. Ken says, I was from Thailand. The amount of fans over there trust this bullshit process from Ineos is unreal. They think if we get Santos or Sangare, they just promote Fletcher. We're good to go for centre midfield, says Ken. Yeah, but you know what, Ken? We've got fans from all around the world and they all love Manchester United and that's absolutely fantastic. But like fans in England, some of them are stupid. Some of them are gullible. Some of them, you could buy James Ward-Prowse, like I said last night, and they'd say, well, we've bought one of the best set-piece specialists in the world. Some of them are just stupid. And some of them just don't really care. They just support Manchester. I support Manchester United. I support Manchester United. But they don't actually think about anything. They don't think about anything. They don't care. You know, I support Manchester United, but they don't think about anything. Have you seen what Paul Hurst put out about the new company values at United as Paris? I haven't. If you could tell us some of them, I'm more than happy to talk about it. Reality is we'll sign Santos and Baleba. It's very sad, says Kyrox. Thank you very much. Think about it, Mark, says Aaron. Both Tonali and Fernandez said they are moving to Tottenham because of De Zerbi. I wonder what Carrick is pitching to the players. Vibes, spirit. That wasn't the case with Amrim signings, says Aaron. Look, I'll be very, very unfair here. When I listen to Michael Carrick talk in a press conference, I want to go to sleep. And that's really unfair. Really, really unfair. But there's very little charisma from Carrick. you know, he's just very, very middle of the road. But I don't think it came down to having a chat with Carrick and having a chat with De Zerbi. I'd be very surprised if that was it. But that was what it was about. Obviously, De Zerbi has got to sell a project to get someone to go to Tottenham without Champions League football. But I'd very much doubt if Man United were offering the right financial package, Matheus Fernandes would have gone, but De Zerbi's got loads of passion. So I will defend Carrick on that. I know he comes across as quite bland on his interviews, and you know, De Zerbi comes across as very passionate. But let's get real. If United were offering a better financial package, I very much doubt Jorge Mendes and Matheus Fernandes would have sat down and gone, yeah, but De Zerbi's got passion. It would, you know, it would be about the financial side as well. So yeah, look, I agree. Carrick doesn't come across as very exciting, but it will be the financial. I mean, I read something yesterday that United, you know, I can't remember where I read it, but it was the something on the lines that United felt that even if they spent £85 million on Matheus Fernandes, which they didn't want to do, Tottenham would have gone to 90. And I thought to myself, well, we should have done that, because £85 million. What if Spurs hadn't gone to 90? We'd have got him. And if Spurs had gone to 90, you'd made them pay more anyway. So I just don't know what to believe at the moment. Once again, we qualify for the Champions League and suddenly can't do big signings. New owners, same strategy. There is something sinister, the Dublin Jackal, about our frequency of repetition, of doing the same thing over and over again. I do sometimes sit here with you good people and think, just what is it that Ineos do that the Glazers didn't do, apart from actually cut deeper? I mean, the Glazers probably would sign Elliot Anderson or Tonali, but Ineos won't. But then you look at it and you go, well, here we are qualifying for the Champions League and we won't spend. I've seen that loads of times. Here we are giving the job to an interim and we won't give him it permanently. Oh, we are going to give it him permanently. So I'm sort of like, I do look at Ineos and say, and go, well, we are still owned by the Glazers, aren't we? We are still owned by the Glazers. But in fairness, you could argue it's worse under Glinios than it was under the Glazers, and it was bad enough under them. It's not really a debate I want to get into, but my point is the Glazers would get desperate and write the checks. Ineos won't even do that. What about Camavinga, says Aman? No. I mean, look, I can't sit here and say I think Santos is embarrassing and then say let's sign Camavinga. I think Camavinga's better than Santos, but as a marquee signing, no. Absolutely not. Z3 Music Official says let me be very clear on the likes of Santos and João Gomez and even Camavinga. If we hadn't bought Ederson, fine. We've already bought our risk. We've already bought our punt. We've already bought our signing, you know? That should be it now. The next two signings are meant to be starters. They're meant to be exciting. It should have been Matheus Fernandes and Tonali, but they're wearing a Spurs shirt. So it should be Alex Scott and Tchouaméni. That's who it should be. Or maybe even an Micha. I actually do think he's a good player, Amaral. But we shouldn't be going for a Chelsea reserve as our second midfield signing when we've just bought Ederson. Just on Ederson, by the way, I have a bit of a theory. I'm hoping I won't get proven right on this with Ederson. You know, like it came out yesterday that the Ederson deal's off, and then everybody was in a panic from the Manchester Evening News to Romano to say, it's still on, he's got to do his medical. The only thing I would say, and I put it out late last night on X, so it's not new, I just wonder if... I think it will happen. And I don't agree with anybody saying he's shit because he came on against Brazil at 0-0, against Norway at 0-0 and they lost 2-0. And obviously, I don't think he's performed very well in the World Cup, but he wasn't part of the original squad. There's plenty of excuses there. We have to judge him in a United shirt. And I think he will be wearing a Man United shirt. But the only thing that made me think is there something in the first medical that's got United panicking a little bit? And I don't think there has, but I just thought, you know what? Is there something in the medical that United might go, no? There is a theory that some people are saying Man United might find something in the medical so they can buy Santos instead of Ederson. But I think we will sign him, Ederson. Look at what Spurs are doing compared to us, says David. I'm tired, mate, says the Martian. It was supposed to be a completely different summer. I've lost all hope. Is there anything we as fans can do? The transfer news related to United makes me angrier. Santos, really, says the Martian, 898. But you know what? There is a positive. Like, you know, Man United fans are never, you know, backwards at going forwards. You know, we're not quiet. I'm sure Berardi and co. think that they can survive, but ultimately, who can survive when they're performing badly? I personally think Wilcox, I said it in January, should have been sacked. I think he should have been sacked because he's recruited two managers and sacked them and spent a load of money. He's a failure. He should be sacked. And yet he seems to have this aura of invincibility. The same with Berardi. He's presided over a festering turd for 2 years. So look, if they want to fuck this summer transfer window up, surely they're gone. Surely they will get the sack. I mean, I don't know. I know Ed Woodward helped the Glazers buy Manchester United. There was a few of them in it together. I can't remember the names. There was Woodward, Arnold, and somebody else who helped the Glazers buy United. So they loved Woodward. I don't really get what Sir Jim loves about Berardi and Wilcox. Like, they've never worked together, really. So realistically, if Sir Jim Radcliffe's a proper businessman and they sacked a lot of managers at Nice and they've sacked a lot of managers at Man United, why would they not sack these people? So look, their job, they surely must realise their jobs are on the line. And when our CEO is sat there a few weeks ago with Andy Mittens saying about winning the league this year, or if not this year, next year, and you think our CEO's talking about winning the league with his mouth and then with his hands he's signing Santos and Edison. I mean, there's got to be, if it really does go bad, surely they'll get the sack. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but surely there's got to be some accountability this time. Seriously, what would it take to get you on the board? I'm sure this community would support that move more. Charles, I'd do it for free. It won't happen. And not everybody in the United fan base would be happy about it. Let's be real. Do you have any idea why we aren't looking at Stiller anymore? Seems like exactly what we need, not a prohibitive price. I don't know, Ginger Kid. Ginger Kiwi, sorry. I don't know. I think that Stiller was a player that we were looking at maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago, and it's been quiet for 3 months. I like the player, but we haven't been looking at him for a very, very long time. So that's the update. That's the honest update. I know some people like to perpetuate the lie for clicks and that, but with Stiller, I like the player. Nothing for 3 or 4 months. I think Newcastle might be in for Stiller. They're in for somebody else I like as well. Well, Newcastle have already bought Torre from Hoffenheim, which I think is an interesting one. They're looking at Stiller and they're looking at Manzambi. And I really like Manzambi. Plays for Freiburg and Switzerland. But obviously, we covered the Bundesliga on That's Football last year, and Manzambi is a good player. A lot of people are becoming aware of him because he's doing well for Switzerland in the World Cup, but he's a good player as well. So, you know, I'm not saying Man United should be signing Torre, Manzambi and Stiller, but I certainly think they're more exciting than fucking Edison and Santos at this stage, if I'm being completely honest. Apparently they want Snusa as well. Ah, fuck it. Yeah, they've obviously been watching the Bundesliga, haven't they? And fair play. I think Snusa is never coming to Man United, but from what I've seen of Snusa, he's a Premier League winger. I mean, whoever goes for Snusa is going to get a bloody good winger. I'm absolutely convinced he's going to be a brilliant winger in the Premier League, if a Premier League club signs him. So Jim did sack Florian Maurice, the director of football of Nice, for a bad transfer window, so there's probably still hope he gets rid of Coxie, says Max Loves Cookies. I do think we're struggling somewhere. Where you apportion, and look, nobody ever talks about this, but where do you apportion the blame? You know, it's July the 6th. As I said to you yesterday, there is statistically Man United's most active period in a summer transfer window is July the 4th to July the 12th. You go back through the last 13 years and you average when we sign players, we always sign players in this period between the 4th and the 12th. We're not going to this year. And that says to me, this is going badly. Because this week is always the week where we sign players and we are nowhere near signing a player. We are already behind. Remember at the end of May when it was like, technically we need to sell or buy a player every 2 weeks. We're starting the season in six. We need two midfielders. We need a left back. We need a left winger. We need a backup striker. And we're not in advanced talks with anybody. So the question has to be, who is responsible for this summer transfer window? And I tell you what, finding that out at Man United is very, very difficult, because if something good happens, they're all queuing up for a quote. The CEO, the director of football, the manager, Sir Jim Ratcliffe. If United sign somebody, they're there. But when things go wrong, finding out who's responsible, very, very difficult. I can't figure out who's responsible. Part of me thinks it's the Glazers for not writing the checks. Part of me thinks it's Ineos for their pure incompetence in running a football club. Part of me thinks it's the CEO for being a weak negotiator. And part of me thinks it's Wilcox for shortlisting the wrong players. It's probably a collective. But I really do wish we had a decent director of football with experience. I really do. But they won't. They won't recruit experience, because they just. That's the same as the manager, isn't it? So Jim, Ineos buy a Michelin star restaurant and they buy Dolmio, says Marcus. Very good. What would be your dream lineup for next season, says Zach? Well, look, now is not the time to talk about it, Zach. But if you were Arsenal and you're having a bad summer transfer window, at least you can fall back onto a team that's won the league and is used to playing in the Premier League and the Champions League. Same with Man City. But with Man United, if we have a bad summer transfer window, it's not like we can look at the team and go, oh, it's fine. That team was barely getting by. It was very, very barely getting by last season. So if we have a bad window, I don't think the team's good enough to stomach that either. So my dream team for Man United at the moment, well, I wouldn't start half of our team anyway. I mean, I want a right back. I want a left back. I want two midfielders. I want a left winger. I want a backup striker. Look, to compete next season, obviously I'd have Lemons in goal. Martinez and De Ligt hopefully as centre-backs. Left back, I haven't got one. Right back, I mean, Dalot and Mazraoui can do a job, but ideally I'd like a decent right back, but I suppose use Mazraoui. Midfield, Mainoo and another. And some competition for Mainoo as well, because let's get real, Mainoo's not like the finished article. Bruno.
Out at McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken meal deal o un $6 McDouble meal deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
I don't like putting Cunha on the wing, but you've got to start Cunha. Again, that's imbalanced. Ahmad or Mbeumo on the right, and then Sesko up front. And even then, I don't know whether that's a good enough team. I still think it needs a lot of work, you know? Glynios will be asking Carrick to be player manager at this rate, says Sean. Do you genuinely think Fernandes is a better player than Santos? For the price, Santos is a good player. Just has Enzo and Caicedo ahead of him, says Dabin. Do you genuinely think Santos is better than Mateus Fernandes? Mate, I think what you're doing is you've seen a pile of shit on the floor and you're so hungry, you're convincing yourself it's moose. Mate, I've never heard anybody be happy about Santos. I've never heard anybody talk about Santos. I've never heard over the last 4 months anybody say, let's get Santos from Chelsea. I've never heard it. If I had, I'd say it. The only time I've heard about Santos was when Ben Jacobs was on the show a few months ago with Beth and he mentioned Santos. And everybody lost their shit. I think it was last January. Literally, that's the only time I've ever heard Santos get mentioned. I've never heard any of you in April, May or June go, you know what? Let's forget about Mateus Fernandes and sign Santos from Chelsea. I've never read that. I've never seen it in the chat. I've never seen it in the comments and I've never seen it on X. But suddenly now people are going, well, I think he's better than Mateus Fernandes. And you know what that says to me? No one's ever mentioned him before. And now they are, because they're gullible idiots, basically. And if we sign him, I will back him, but I think it's embarrassing. Carrick is perfect. Yes, gullible man for Ineos, as QYR. Stalling so fans can accept, belabor Edison and Santos, as Jacob. My big fear is that we don't get back into Europe. I can't do another year of not being in Europe. It's depressing. Starting to understand the Carrick decision now, as no new manager would accept the lack of ambition on new signings, says Nathan. I haven't seen what Paul Hurst put out, by the way. I wonder if I can find it very, very quickly just before we move on. What do you think about Garnacho? Lucky escape. You know, he had everything. Thing about Garnacho is I and many others had his back and thought he was a talented player. He threw that in the river to go to Chelsea, where apparently he was going to prove us all wrong. He went to Chelsea, where he had no loyalty from their fans because he hadn't built it. He wasn't good enough, and now they just want rid of him. And he has no... You know, he threw it in the face of those United fans who backed him, arrogantly went somewhere else, and it's failed. And it's a lesson. I always said, you need to grow up. And, you know, he had a great opportunity at United and he blew it. Yeah. Okay, I've just realised it's 7:45 and I'm doing the Portugal game, so I better get out of here. But thank you. Thank you so much for watching. We are back live at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, unless anything happens before that. Two watch-alongs tonight. Portugal, Bruno against Spain in literally 15 minutes on That's Football. And then we've got, I'm doing USA at 1 a.m. Do you think they play out these transfers so long and often so that the fan base just gets exhausted? Z3, nothing would surprise me about Man United. I think they spend a lot of money on analysing social media and trends of fans. And I think they're fully aware that if you grind this fan base down enough and you start at Anderson and Tchouaméni and Tonali, if you grind them down enough, they will accept Belabor and Santos. And we should fight against that. Amazing to be at the Azteca yesterday, Mark. Flew out early morning from Mexico City to Dallas. Now at Portugal versus Spain. He's living the dream, Mojo. The legend of the chat. He's living the dream. J-Lo, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you. Look, I'm on Matt's Football. I'll talk about England over there. We'll have a debrief about that over there. But, you know, I think communities like this are so important. And, you know, when you're looking at like the England fans and the Mexico fans yesterday, I think football is, you know, ridiculed and such a problem for so many people. But in a world where, you know, the fabric of society seems to be breaking down, you know, I think football still is such a fantastic sport. And you look at those fans, those England fans singing Wonderwall all together at the England players. And you look at the Mexico fans, how they got behind their fans. And it's not just Mexico and England. I think football's a great, great sport that unites people behind, you know, whether it be patriotism or club or whatever. It's fantastic. And wouldn't it be great to have those days back with Man United? Unfortunately, with England, you're just about the manager picking the best players. With Manchester United, we're in the hands of the owners and they dictate us to it. We've heard a lot about buying players. Is there any news about selling players? Says Trevor. Mate, it's a great point, Trevor. Absolutely not. We're not looking to sell anybody, are we? Absolutely not. Okay, I'll see you over on That's Football in about 10 minutes. Take care. Great show tonight. Speak to you in a bit.